Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion?" A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." He said in reply, "I will not." But afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to another son and gave the same order. He said in reply, "Yes, sir," but did not go. Which of these two did his father's will? They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. In our second reading today, we hear Paul say, "Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others." And so, in the spirit of this text, I'd like to run a little experiment with all of you this week. Maybe not so much experiment, but I'd like to give you homework. But like any good teacher, right, the teacher doesn't assign homework without having done it themselves, right? So be assured, I'm doing this at the same time as I'm asking all of you to do it this week. So what am I asking you to do? First, I'm asking you to think of all the things in your life which are complete time dumps, which waste our time, and which really don't benefit us in any way. Things we find ourselves doing over and over again that just waste our time. Name a few of those, and then for 1 week, write down exactly how many minutes we spend doing them. And find out just how much time we waste on those things. So I started yesterday morning, and I'm already at an hour and 18 minutes. So if you hear me preach next week, I'll report fully what the full week number was. So at this moment, I'm at an hour and 18 minutes, less than 48 hours into my homework assignment. So what are the two things that I have decided to track? I've decided to track Facebook. Yes, I'm sure everyone just went, "Oh, shoot, that's probably mine too." You know, you always go in like, "I'll just check my notifications and then I'll be out," right? And then like 45 minutes later, you're still scrolling. And you're still scrolling. And you're still scrolling. Yes. So that's my first one I'm tracking. I'm tracking Facebook. And I'm tracking video games, because I really like video games. My brother and I play a lot of video games. I play too many video games. So I'm tracking both of those for 1 week. So I invite you to do the same. Record every minute. Be completely honest with yourself. If you're like me, you will probably get to the end of the week and be thoroughly embarrassed with yourself. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and that's rather the point of this whole experiment. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Why? Why? Why does Paul write that? Well, let's turn to our gospel today. We have the gospel of the two sons in the vineyard. The father asks both of them to go out and work in the vineyard. One says he will, but then doesn't. And the other says he won't, but then does. And we're asked to do that same thing by our Heavenly Father. All of us here, in virtue of our baptism, are asked to go out and labor in the vineyard. And what's our response? How do we respond to that? Because we've been baptized, our answer initially was, yes, I will go. Yes, sir, I will go into the vineyard. So at this moment, are you like that son who said, yes, I will, but then really hasn't gone into the vineyard yet? And notice God didn't ask the son to go and be nice to people in the vineyard. He didn't say, go out and be a generally good person. He said, go and labor in the vineyard. Go and work in the vineyard. And so again, I ask the question, why? Why? It's a really important question to ask, by the way. Always keep asking why. Why? Why does God ask me to do this? Why does the church ask me to do this? So we're no longer just doing things because, well, we're supposed to, or because we think we ought to be doing this, but we know intellectually why we do these things. So why are we asked to be laborers in the vineyard? And in the second half of this, of the second reading, Paul answers that question. And if you notice too, I asked you to pick out the argument. What is the argument in favor of humility? And so I'm going to give you the answer here. So if you got this right, bonus points for you. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. So why are we sent into the vineyard? Because Jesus did it first. Because Jesus left heaven, left perfect bliss of heaven, and came down into our human appearance. He became human in every respect. He suffered. He encountered pain. He encountered every single emotion that all of us experience. Becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If you remember in the Last Supper, at one point Jesus gets on his knees and begins to wash the feet of the apostles. And he tells us to do the same for each other. And he does this because that's how we were made. We were made to give ourselves away. Give ourselves away to each other and give ourselves away to God. We were made for service. We were made for service. And so the question then becomes, where do we put our priorities in life? What are our priorities? What do we put them in? And that's where this experiment comes into play. So this is designed to show us how much time we put into useless things, how much time and effort we put into things that really just don't matter. And so no longer can we make the excuse, well, I really don't have time for service. You know, I'm a really busy person. I don't have time for service. I think you're going to find that you do. I think you're going to find that all this time added up, You really do have time. So I mentioned Facebook and video games, but there's so much more. So much more. There's sports. And maybe the Lions are a little bit easier to give up than other sports teams. I get that. TV. This is a big one. TV. Time really gets away from you in TV. Especially if you're watching that show Game of Thrones. Like, ditch that today. There's nothing good about that show. So, like, ditch TV. Gossip. That's a big one. How much time do we spend gossiping? Blogs, reading comments on blogs. So I feel kind of bad because Dr. Ed Peters was at the morning mass, and I'm like, except for you, Dr. Peters, we can read your blog. But how much time do we spend on blogs? And like, we try and convince ourselves, oh, well, it's because there's something academically good in this blog I want to read. And like 30 blogs later, we're still going. And then we do make the fatal mistake of reading the comment section. And nothing ever good came from a comment section. Perhaps it's shopping. And even in today's day and age, especially in today's day and age, online shopping can really suck our time away. Amazon is an amazing thing, but it is also a terrible thing. Online shopping may be your thing you have to track. Complaining. How much time do you spend complaining? So that's just a small list. There's many, many, many more. But think of the top maybe two or three things that come to your mind that are real time dumps for you. Write them down and write every minute that you're on it or doing it and add it up one full week. See what happens. So when you get to the end of the week, you're going to look at that sheet and like me, you're probably going to be thoroughly embarrassed with yourself. And so what do you do? What do you replace that time with? Our syllabus is still back here in the corner. It's kind of shoved in the corner, I'm sorry. You kind of have to make your way up there to read it still, but it's still there. Our syllabus of the Christian life, those 8 points that every Christian life needs to include. And on point number 4, it says, serve others' needs. Well, how many of us are still not quite to that point yet? How many of us don't have any real tangible service we're doing? And that's what we replace it with. But what kinds of service are out there? There's lots of services that you can do. When I preached on that syllabus, I named a whole bunch. And I'll name a few more even right now. The first one is on Wednesday, we celebrated the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul. The St. Vincent de Paul Society is always looking for people, and that's an incredible organization to get involved with. Vicky's going to speak about them after Mass today, so they're an incredible organization. The Knights of Columbus do incredibly good things to our community. They're always kind of looking out into the community and seeing what do they need, what can we help with, how can we serve the parish and the Ann Arbor community. You can join the parish council. There's always a lot you can do there, and just to help be the voice of the parishioners. But it doesn't have to be something structured. It doesn't have to be an organization that you get involved with. It can be just looking out at your world, looking out at the people you know, and recognizing the needs that are there. Perhaps there's a family, a mother who just gave birth to a child. And so you and a few other parents make meals for them all week so they don't have to worry about providing meals. Maybe they've just gone through some, you know, traumatic event. Maybe they're going through some suffering. And you can provide whatever they need for them, something to comfort them, rides for them, whatever it is. Just being aware of your community, being aware of the needs around you, and being open for service. I think I mentioned this before too. Perhaps you have like a gift of music, and there are plenty of assisted living centers and nursing homes where they'd love to have you come in and just play some music with them for a while. You know, just to brighten their day, because they oftentimes don't get that many visitors. The list is nearly endless, but I've said this before, I'll say it again. Find something you're good at, find something that gets you excited, and dive into it. Jump into it. Because there's a beautiful grace that God gives when you give yourself away in service. And you find that perhaps before you go, you're thinking to yourself, oh, I just had a full day of work. I'm really kind of exhausted right now. And I really just kind of want to sit and bum on the couch tonight. Then you say, okay, well, I said I'd go do this thing, so I'm going to go do it. And while you're there, all of a sudden you're filled with like the energy of a three-year-old. And like all of a sudden you're just like, yeah, I'm so glad I did this. This is incredible. And that's grace. That is grace working tangibly in your life. Because we are now living the way we were meant to live. We're living the way God wants us to live. We're living in conformity with His will. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus.